Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears. ESPN Chicago. And this is Carmen and Yurko, live from the old National Bank Studio. WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
2 days, the Bears will be right back at it. I don't know if that's good or bad. I mean, the way they play and what they do to us week in and week out. But that's the reality. Week 5 kicks off in a couple of nights in our nation's capital. Bears at Commanders. Welcome in. It's Carmen and Yurk. Yurk's gone today. He'll be back mañana. I don't know if he's on the golf course or what. He might be trying to take advantage of one of these last few nice days. It's gorgeous outside. Pat, the designer, sitting in. Hello, my friend.
How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
how are you feeling as a fan? The vibe of the fan right now is the toughest thing in the world this year, after last week, because it's just like, Justin played well. We lost. How'd that happen?
I went back and watched the All-22 last night. I texted Waddle and Yurko at one point. I texted them a video, and I said, and any time, look, I will not pretend to be any sort of expert. If I've got serious questions, I ask those guys, who missed this, who missed that. I said, I dare either one of you to tell me what 22 is doing on this play. That's how I phrased it. I said, I absolutely dare you to tell me what number 22 is doing on defense on this play. And
22 is Elijah Hicks,
that's Elijah
right?
Hicks. And I get he's a backup to a backup. And I get it. But going back and watching the All-22 these last few weeks, it's even worse. And this is not, Justin did play great. There's no doubt, especially
defensively,
in that
first, the All-22.
Defensively in the second half.
Yeah, it was a nightmare.
In the last, say, 12 minutes of the game, the last 13 minutes of the game, defensively, it's a nightmare.
Yeah, 100%.
Go watch the touchdown. Who's 89? I can't think of who 89 is right now off the top of my head on Denver. I'm blanking on the wide receiver that's 89. He was in the slot on that touchdown where Russell fall.
Brandon Johnson.
Go watch the Brandon Johnson highlight.
Yeah.
Go watch the All-22 tape and tell me what Tyreek Stevenson's doing.
Tyreek is such a, I think that's the toughest part about all of this. It's just so many, like, I love that. I hate that. And you got to figure out how it all melds together and one day becomes a team.
And maybe that's just it. You're talking about backups, or in Tyreek's case, a kid playing in his fourth ever NFL game.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. I like Tyreek Stevenson, too. I think he'll be a fine player. Yurko keeps talking about Darnell Wright. Does he make rookie mistakes? Sure. Yurko, what he sees is telling you, have no fear. That kid will be a stud. That's good to hear. And I think Tyreek Stevenson will probably be a very good player, too. But, woof, in the slot right now in his fourth game, you look at it and you go, no, it can't be.
But it's also an out of position thing too, and it's, I think the hardest thing is, right, you're trying to justify what you're seeing, and when you see it on the field, your first thought isn't, oh yeah, these are the backups to the backups. You're just seeing bad defense played. But to me, it all goes back to the same thing, right? Like, I look at Flus and I say, you've got these defensive principles. I barely see any of them on the field. I barely see any principles that you've put out there in your day-to-day game plan or whatever you're telling us through the press conferences that you're doing. None of that's translating to the field. How is that possible with the players that we have?
I don't know. In Denver, in that, I'm telling you, the last 15 to 20 minutes of that game defensively is painful to watch.
Yeah.
This is supposed to be a defensive head coach.
Yeah.
Okay, there are a lot of injuries. Teams deal with a lot of injuries. The Seattle Seahawks have a lot of injuries on their offensive line. Has it mattered one bit to them the last couple of weeks? No. Teams deal with injuries.
It's the NFL.
That's it. And that last 15 to 20 minutes defensively, the chunk plays, the big chunk plays, the open receivers, the poor tackling, poor angles, poor technique, poor decision making. Some of it probably poor scheme. Again, I'll let Yurko kind of be the voice there on, you know, why this is or isn't a good scheme considering the situation, but it is right there on the tape, and you go, wow. You see all these things and you go, wow, this is even so much worse. I don't know where the first win comes. In this league, it could happen at any week. That's just this league. Like, weird things happen. The Jets beat the Bills, for crying out loud, right? Like, in week one without Aaron Rodgers. Like, that's this league. Weird things happen. I get it. At any week, A win probably will come. It's almost impossible to go winless, although they're getting close here with 14 consecutive. I mean, you're almost at a full season. I mean, like, at some point a win's going to come. It will, because that's the NFL. And any week it's possible. And Washington, let's not pretend like Washington's any great shakes here. So could it happen? Yeah, but when you're going back watching tape right now of this team, it's hard to know where it's going to come or how it's going to come or that many of them are going to come, because it just looks like a team that has it. They've got breakdowns at every level, Pat, and that's what's so disappointing. I don't think there was anything wrong with the offensive play calling. I've heard like the Bears took their foot off the gas. No, they didn't.
They did what they were supposed to do.
They didn't take their foot off the gas.
The problem is, right, doing what you're supposed to do in that situation, right? You run the ball. They had a 9-minute drive. That's exactly what you're supposed to do if you're a good football team. The problem is when the team starts to come back and you need to pick up the pace a little bit more, we can't run the football there. You don't have the personnel that's been in that situation that knows, oh my God, we all got to get back on the horse and go down here and score another touchdown. I think that's the biggest issue with this team as a whole. And when you saw the end of that game, I asked Jericho on the Chicago Bears podcast, about what does it mean to learn to win? Because we hear that all the time.
He's been saying it since last year.
What does it mean to learn to win? And he said, in the fourth quarter, you're mistake-free, your technique is perfect, and you understand the moment that you're in. Your will is stronger than the will that was on the other side of you. When they scored 21, I said, my God, we're going to blow this. Not because
That's when it started feeling perilous, right?
Not because I didn't think that the Bears couldn't go down and score another touchdown, but on the defensive end, it looked like they started to resign to what they have always done. You're going to go down here and you're going to get a touchdown on us. And of course, right, the play that Justin ends up, the strip sack fumble that goes the other way for a touchdown, that pretty much hurts you the most. I guess, Bears fans, if you want to have some positives, right, this feels like we're talking about Mitch again, right? Justin drove you down the field, put you in position for a field goal. Your coach chose not to take it.
With three penalties on that drive.
Yeah.
But that just is my point about, you know, this idea that they took their foot off the gas. Now, at that point, it was tied and you sort of had to go. I get it. But, like, I don't see that in the play calling. Even the series where they went three and out, they actually ran four plays. There was a holding penalty, defensive holding penalty on Patrick Surtain on the first play. I think it was Tanyan, and that's why that ball was not completed. Although I didn't think it was a great throw either by Justin. But even on that series, the Bears tried to push the ball through the air twice. Like, I don't think it got to be like this wildly conservative play call. They still were moving the ball.
Yes.
They moved it in field goal range. The coach decided not to take the field goal. They have the turnover where they had Justin turn his back again, and you've got to stop with it, because for weeks I've been saying it is abundantly clear what teams are going to do when they're playing the Bears or any other running quarterback. And Rondae Barber made the exact same point on the telecast on Sunday. We played it yesterday. Teams are not going to be tricked anymore by it. They don't care what happens down the line of scrimmage. And if the running back is going to get a chunk play out of it, fine, but the end man has been trained at this point not to flow down the line of scrimmage and to follow Justin Fields or any other running quarterback, and that's it. And who was it? I think it was Nick Benito, right? Who was right in Justin's lap when Justin turned around.
Yeah.
Had no idea it was coming because his back was to him, and Benito, whether he was fooled or not, didn't matter. He has been trained to do one thing at this point. We are playing the Bears. We are not going to flow down the line of scrimmage. It is as simple as that. And you've got to find a different way to move the pocket instead of these back to the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
Trying for these naked boots where teams, it has been on tape for weeks. Well, teams are not falling for it against these running quarterbacks.
I think even we saw him run that on the touchdown where he starts to run toward the right side, does a little hezzy, jump, throw, right? But there's a little bit of a blocker in that situation. Like, just give me something, Luke. Give me something that gives Justin that extra second.
I think the option was, if not run, it was Komet who came across the line of scrimmage.
Yes.
He came across the formation.
But you have to have – I love what we saw in the Seattle game last night. Seattle knows they can't protect. And the Bears' protection in that game, for the most part, was good. Pretty good, right?
Yes.
But just in those moments where you know, right, on the right side, there's going to be somebody probably coming because everybody sees this. Just give me a little bit of protection. I love how Seattle schemes up tight ends in the backfield. And on that play, I believe there are three tight ends on the field on that play. I thought we were going run.
13 personnel. I love it. Yeah. Seattle, that was, listen, I mean, the Giants are, just when you think your team's pretty awful.
Yeah.
I mean, you could look at the Giants right now. I mean, I don't think they've scored a first-half touchdown, right, in any game they've played. We're 4 weeks in. They don't have a first-half touchdown. And they scored 3 points last night.
When do we get to the point where when a coach has a hot year, we stop hyping that coach up the next year?
Now, I do think...
I like Daboll, but Daboll looks like Nagy right now. Nagy, year one, coach of the year. Year two, coach of my fears. You know what I'm saying?
I do like Daboll, but Daniel Jones is no good. I mean, I don't get some of the decisions that are made in this league. I really don't. I guess they're left with what is our other viable option. It's hard to find quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And so when you've got quarterback number, what are we, 23? Is that about what Daniel Jones is, right?
Yeah.
Bottom third of the league. But it's so dire out there that you're like, well, where are we going to do better? So let's pay Daniel Jones for another year. And if I'm not mistaken, the way they structured that deal, it's basically kind of like a one and done.
Yeah, they can get out of it.
Daniel Jones stinks. And their offensive line stinks. It has stunk for years. The one good player they have on their offensive line has been out the last 2 weeks. That's only going to make things. I mean, they've got one Pro Bowl caliber player on that line. And when he's gone, forget it. To give up 9 sacks in your building in a prime. What, it was 9? I think that was the final count.
Was it 9? Let me double check.
9 sacks.
So, was Khalil Mack visiting that week?
Oh, my God.
Was Khalil Mack visiting that week?
9 sacks. Really, Khalil. I mean, the stuff that goes on in this league week to week, I don't know. At what point does Josh McDaniel start to say, maybe we shouldn't let Khalil Mack ruin our day anymore? No. It's okay. We'll just let him keep piling up sacks.
I
don't get this league sometimes,
it's
Pat.
So
I don't
much,
get what's
there's
going
so
on.
There's so much of a, you know what it is? There's too many coaches that are, this is my scheme, this is how it's run, this is how you have to do it. When you have that and you don't, think about the best coaches we talk about in this league. They just adjust. Let me adjust. Oh, we're missing that guy? We're going to adjust over there. We're going to add an extra guy. Oh, is our best receiver out? Guess what? Maybe we're going to run the football a little more this week. And then you see the Josh McDaniels of the world. You see the, I mean, for 3 weeks, what we've had here in Chicago, where it's like, hey, do you see that this isn't working? Because I see it. I've never played in the NFL. Carm never played in the NFL. Yurko has played in the NFL. He sees it as well. Everybody who's been a quarterback in the NFL sees it. It's just like, what are you doing? Your scheme isn't the end-all be-all, but it's about what you have on the field.
I don't get what goes on sometimes. How dare I say only 9? It was 11.
Oh, my
11
God.
Sacks. 4 players on the Seahawks last night had 2 sacks. 4. Bobby Wagner, Jordan Brooks, Devin Witherspoon, ILL, and Nwosu had 2. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, they had 2 each. They had 4 guys that had 2 sacks.
We got 2 as a team. We got 2 as a team, Carl. We got 2 as a team. You know what I mean? Like, there's that. You know what I mean?
Why do you got to be that way?
We got 2 as a team. Well, I'm just saying.
They had 4 guys that had 2 last night. I wish he could play the Giants offensive line every week, I guess. But, I mean, 3 measly points in a primetime game at home. Embarrassing. I tell you, it's head-scratching sometimes, the things that are going on around this league. And, with Daboll, I think he's a pretty brilliant offensive mind.
Yeah.
And I think he's just visibly frustrated. He'd had enough. I mean, I don't even think he could talk to Daniel
Jones. Did you hear him in the presser yesterday? He's like, you've given up 14, 20, and 40. He's like, I know the scores. I was like, well, I hope you do. You got no answers for it.
Well, and they can't score.
Yeah.
I mean, they just can't. 0 in the first week. They had the Cardinal game where they had the great second half.
Yeah.
12 last week against the Niners. Then you had a little, think about the time you had to prepare. Because that was the Thursday night game in week 3, right?
Yeah.
So you played Thursday night in week 3, you played Monday night in week 4, and you scored 3 points at home. You're abysmal.
You're
so
bad,
sometimes
Frank.
There are situations that are even worse than the one you're in as a fan.
Well, it feels better when Justin puts up 335 and 4 tutties, right? Like, it feels a lot better. Like, that's what Sunday was for me. It was like, I'm right. Listen, I got on Bulls gear right now. I'm ever the optimist.
I can't believe
you. I'm ever the optimist. You know
Bulls
what I mean?
Gear and Sox gear on.
I'm ever the optimist here. Well, I'm sorry.
Oh, my God.
But realistically,
I commend you.
Realistically, when we're talking about it, There's so much where it's like, I just got to take what I can have on this one. My quarterback threw 335 yards, four tutties, and drove us down in a position to win the game. Does this sound like I'm defending Mitch Trubisky? A little bit. But I can take what I can only take what they give me.
I guess we can't make fun of anybody. Our team's lost 14 in a row, but it feels like the Giants are even more of a dumpster fire than the Bears. Maybe that's crazy to say. Maybe I'm just putting some of my anger and frustration.
Playoff team. I'll joke with the playoff team, but a playoff team.
They've scored 15 points in their last two games. I mean,
we've lost 14 straight games.
I know. I think some of it is just deflecting. Again, I want to feel better about myself. So I'm like, well, hey, at least we're not the Giants offense. Yeah. 312-332-3776. Eddie Jackson was on the station with Fleck and Abdallah last night. He talked about a plethora of different things, including Chase Claypool, and will he potentially play on this short week? If you missed it, we're going to play some of those highlights for you. If you want to ring us up and talk Bears, when's this win going to come? And what do you feel like as a Bears fan, especially if you're a little bit older, if you've been through a lot of these lean years? This has been a rough century for the Bears. Let's face it. And it's been a rough decade. They've got one winning season in the last decade. When do we hit rock bottom, for crying out loud? I don't know. Waddle keeps thinking, well, it's this week, or it's got to be this week, or it's got to be that loss. We might still be going deeper and deeper. I don't know.
It feels like it.
But, boy, watching the All-22 is even more depressing than watching the game on Sunday. 312-332-3776. Pat's in for Yerk. We'll be right back.
Working from home?
We're back in the office.
Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Just ask your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
It's Tuesday. Usually it's an off day. We can kind of like regroup, but the Bears are at it today because they start week five in Washington. No rest for the weary. Pat, the designer, is sitting in for Yurk. The good kid's back tomorrow. Don't forget, Friday, we're out. It is our latest football feast, and we're going to be at Buffalo Wild Wings in Cal City, Yurko's old stomping grounds, where he was, I won't say born because he wasn't, but he was raised since about 6 months old. Of course, he was born in Friedrichshafen, Germany. How well do I know my partner? I even know the town in Germany in which he was born. Friedrichshafen.
That's pretty good.
Yes, that's where Yurko was born. But he's a Cal City kid through and through. Come on. So we're going to be in Cal City, Buffalo Wild Wings, this Friday, football feast with Miller Lite. So come by and see us reacting to, we'll see. I don't know.
Bears first win?
Maybe a Bears first win off the schneid. I don't know. We're going to see. But regardless, come hang with us, kick off the weekend. And don't forget, we got the special Toast to Victory page open at ESPNChicagoContest.com. So every week at 2, when we've been doing these football feasts, we do a little toast at the establishment. Miller Lite's been providing the beer. Very nice of them. You know, here, free beers for everybody. Yeah. And we take a little swig and do a toast for the weekend. So give us your best idea for a toast. Submit your entries at ESPNChicagoContest.com. You must be 21 to win, and you must live in Illinois or Indiana. And if we pick your toast, you'll get a $200 Buffalo Wild Wings gift card and a Miller Lite prize pack. That's a lot of wings that you can buy with $200, Pat. I don't know.
I'm big on it, especially if you go on a Tuesday. You know, a little discount on Tuesday with the wings.
A little discount on Tuesday.
You know what I mean? You're doubling up on that.
So sounds good to me.
You got 400 wings at 50-cent wings, right?
I think that's right.
400 wings?
That's a lot. I think it's 50-cent wings, isn't it?
How many guys you bring for 400 wings?
Well, you got to bring, well, it depends on the size of the guys, I guess. I mean, you're bringing an O-line with you. It's not that many guys. If it's, I'm trying to think. Back in my heyday. Like, if I was really going to, I could probably eat about 20. That's probably my max, about 20 wings.
Yeah.
After that, it gets to be too much. And I don't think I could pull that off now. 20's a lot. Doesn't it feel like a lot when you're young, it's easy.
I think the difference is when you're young, it's mindless eating, right?
Yeah, it is.
When you're younger, it's mindless eating. So, like, you'll eat and you're, like, watching a game and you'll just walk through, grab a wing. Like, that's normal. You probably could knock down a little more than that. You look like you could put them away back.
Here's
in the
thing. When you're young, I agree with you when you say it's mindless eating. You're not thinking about it. You don't care about the health ramifications.
Right.
When you get older, you start thinking about everything you eat. You know, you're like, I can't eat that, or I can't have too much of this, or I can't have too much of that. What's my doctor going to say if I told my other?
I'm not even 30 yet. I eat pork, the knees are gone. That's how it goes. I'm not even 30 yet. That's just
you
jeans.
You still got a while, dude.
That's just jeans. I got 1 year till I'm 30. I eat pork. I'm sitting on the couch. My knee goes, I'm like, wait. I haven't moved yet.
Give it another 10, and you're going to be like, all of a sudden your body reacts these weird ways when you eat food, you know? I think I'm starting to develop like a lactose intolerance all of a sudden. I'm almost 50. How could that happen now? The doctor says, no, it could happen.
It's not going
to
stop.
Starting to get gassy and bloated when I have like a cappuccino, you know?
Here's the difference.
What's happening?
When you start to do the, I've just got the pill to stop this because I'm not going to stop eating it. You know what I mean? That's when you know you've made
that
it.
Doesn't work.
That's when you know you've made it. I've got the gas X ready because I'm not going to not get this milkshake.
Last night was Bears night in Chicago. Black and Abdallah were out at JL's in Palatine. That's a great place. Hopefully you had fun with the guys if you were out there. Good crowd for Eddie Jackson and the boys last night. Here was Eddie Jackson talking about playing this week potentially on the short week, week five in Washington. Take a listen.
Yeah, that's the plan. You know, right now, day by day, I'm feeling a lot better, so that's definitely the plan. That's tough. You know, it's sometimes it gets frustrating, you know, just not being out there with your team, especially to the type of start we off. You know, I feel like we want everybody to be out there to contribute, you know. So for me, not being out there, being a captain, a leader of the defense and the team, is, you know, it just gets frustrating at times. But, you know, I just try to do my best to stand around and coaching up the young guys and trying to give everyone high energy and continue to keep that hope.
Little news you guys got there last night.
Little breaking news.
He's saying that he thinks he's going to play. That's the plan?
Yeah, that's what he said. And yeah. I followed up, you know, like, Harm, because I asked him originally, like, that was one of the first things we started the conversation with before we dove into Sunday's game. And, like, in my head, I was like, I wonder if he was just, like, being nice as we kind of started the conversation. So I followed up at the end of the hour being like, all right, Thursday night, Commanders, you said the plan is to play, and he confirmed that that's the plan. Like, so
he doubled down on it?
So we'll see if he practices today, the designation is today, because he hasn't practiced in over, 2 weeks?
I think it's been 2 weeks.
Yeah,
right?
The Bears did just sign a safety off the Ravens practice squad. So
They're not running real practices this week, though. This is probably all
the designations are there.
Yesterday he didn't practice. Right. Didn't practice.
I would find it hard to believe if he's designated as not practicing today or tomorrow that he's going to actually play on Thursday.
I would agree with you. I think that would be awfully hard if he doesn't practice at all this week to play Thursday. He hasn't practiced in 2 weeks, so that would probably be tough. If he does play, here's Eddie Jackson talking about facing Washington and Sam Howell, who's been very up and down so far here to start the season. He was good in Philly the other day. He was terrible against who they get drilled by before that. Washington, right? Was it the Washington game? Who'd they get drilled
by?
Washington. I think it was Washington. The Bills, right?
The Bills.
I think
definitely
they got drilled by the
them.
Bills.
Bills drubbed him.
He was terrible. He was pretty good.
Good in the Broncos, right?
In the Bronco game, and especially in the second half. So I don't know. It's been a little up and down. Here's Eddie Jackson talking about facing Washington and Sam Howell.
I feel like he's pretty good. He's done like you said, a few good things. But I feel like he's still young. He struggles with reading defensive coverages. So that's something that we're going to try to get him mixed up on. But, you know, they have a good receiving core. Those guys can stretch the field vertically, like to get a few of those guys in space, and they can make you miss. So, like, we just been out on our approach, you know, I mean, obviously the day after a game, but today we just went in there and just like, look, we know what they're going to do, what they're going to try to hit us at. We just got to be ready to tackle, stay over top, and give him different looks and try to make him beat us with his arm.
So when you kind of look at it, because the one thing we were talking about earlier is sack percentage. The Bears right now are 32nd in the NFL.
Yeah.
I think against a young quarterback like Sam Howell, this is a perfect opportunity on Thursday night. You got to get some pressure on the quarterback.
Exactly, and that's been the talks and key points. Like, we even told Flus, like, yo, let's put some pressure on these guys, man. Let them get uncomfortable. You know, we like to rush forward. You know, everyone knows that. So, you know, right now we just got to give them different looks. Help those guys out, send five, send six, sometimes send four. Might drop and, you know, rush three. So just got to give him a lot of different looks and put some pressure on him to make him uncomfortable. Like I said, he struggles with reading defense, you know, and also he's a one-read type of guy. So you take that first read away and put a little pressure in his face, he's gonna mess up.
I like the confidence for a team on this kind of a losing streak. I hope Eddie's right. I hope he plays and this comes to fruition, that he's a one-read guy and they could take advantage of that. He just said it. We told Flus, let's bring a little pressure. Yeah, we want to rush four. That's our defense. Doesn't work.
Yeah.
You don't have the personnel to rush for.
And even when he talks about the principles of tackling, you just showed us the video there, right?
Like, oh, my God.
What are we talking about with principles of tackling here? How many times have we watched it? I mean, Elijah Hicks has been active, what, 2 weeks?
I think
I've watched him. I've watched him basically just throw his shoulders at guys for 2 weeks, and both of them get major gains. You know what I mean? Like, there's a point where you have to ask, are the fundamentals that are being put out there being put on the field? And they're just not.
No.
You're not seeing any basic fundamentals with most of these guys. I get it, right? Like, I'm not asking you to be Bojack when you fill in. I think Bojack's a really, really good player out there. I think he's a ball hawk. He changes a game quickly. Like, I'm asking you to be basic. I'm asking you to be an NFL level safety.
Replacement level.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm not asking you to be a superstar. So for me, right, like, with your replacement guys, like, you have to make sure that your principles are in order, because whether he's a one-read quarterback or not, if the one read's open, he's going to be able to hit it. Yeah. We just saw that.
If pressure is non-existent, it's so much easier. I don't care what you think of the opposing quarterback.
Yeah.
Without pressure, all of a sudden it becomes so much easier, and they just don't do a good job of generating a lot of pressure. Adam, did you have him sign a bunch of Alabama stuff last night?
No, and I and Chris can attest to this.
You didn't bring a houndstooth hat or anything?
No, listen, it's the first show. We got 8 more of these with Eddie Jackson. We'll be in Naperville next week.
Nice.
I waited 22 minutes to ask the first Alabama question.
Okay.
I felt like I showed great restraint
that's pretty good.
He did give me a couple roll tides. It was awesome.
Yeah.
And like, I've always been an Eddie Jackson supporter, even, you know, through, you know, some of his down years with Matt Nagy, but he even talked about it. Like, Matt Eberflus is using him a little bit differently than Matt Nagy was using him when he was the head coach. Obviously, he's not a defensive-minded head coach, but with Matt Eberflus, he's playing a little bit more free, and we saw last year when he was healthy before he got hurt.
He was great. He had a good bounce back
year. Yeah, he was intercepting. Yeah, exactly. And so he's playing a little bit better, and hopefully, like you said, he's back out there, because for whatever crap people give Eddie Jackson, like you said, Pat, whatever's after him, like whatever.
Oh my God,
it doesn't exist.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Not pretty right now.
Like, Eddie Jackson out there makes the team better.
Where
in Naperville? Crosstown. I read your mind. We'll be at Crosstown Bar in Naperville.
Oh, in Ogden.
Yeah.
Crosstown's great. Yeah.
Next Monday night, 6 days.
That's a good place. Yep. Good place on Ogden Avenue. It's like across from the Portillo's on Ogden.
Oh, I actually know that. I've been there.
It's great. And the wings are fantastic at that place, you guys. So
I'll tell you the exact time I was there. It was opening day for the White Sox.
This year? Yeah, that's a good place. So that's next Monday for Bears Night. Is that Monday night, guys?
Yep.
Yeah, next Monday night for Bears Night in Chicago with Black and Abdallah and Eddie Jackson. I want to play one more Eddie Jackson bite on Chase Claypool coming up, and then we'll take your Bears calls. 312-332-3776. Jed Hoyer met the media today. What is the plan for the Cubs going into the offseason? Are they going to be interested in trading for Pete Alonso? Do they want Bellinger back? Jesse Rogers will join us at about 1:15. Pat the Designer's in for York. We'll be right back.
Zoning out on that Zoom meeting? Zoom. Find out what Carmen and Yurko were talking about. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
This was hit. Back the other way, Witherspoon. Devin Witherspoon cuts back. What a night for the rookie. You think they love him in Seattle? 6 points. Touchdown, Witherspoon. No flags.
I-L-L-I-N-I. I mean, you talk about a coming out party with your peers watching in primetime. Sweet Lord. Good for Devin Witherspoon. I mean, Troy Aikman couldn't stop raving. 2 sacks. I think it was like 6 tackles, 2 sacks, and a pick six.
I loved it. I loved every minute of it.
That's a ball game.
As an Illinois fan, there's not much I could cheer for.
Except that.
I love that. I loved that last night.
I mean, he and Tariq Woolen together, like, they got something with two young corners like that.
Yeah.
And this kid looks versatile. I mean, they basically said for the first time, like, now go play the slot, and he did.
Yeah.
That was impressive.
It's nice to see, ain't it, when you could just ask a guy to do something else, he just can adjust to it. It was
now,
nice.
Now, listen, he's the fifth nice pick. He's supposed to be
makes
great.
A difference.
Christian Gonzalez looks great. Unfortunately, he's hurt now in New England. But and I think Christian Gonzalez ended up going right after, didn't he? Wasn't it 5-6? Weren't they? Why do I feel like they were? The Patriots couldn't have been picking that high, could they?
Let's see. Let's get a draft order up here. I think 7?
I can't remember.
7-5-7?
I mean, but boy, oh boy, both have looked fantastic. Again, Gonzalez is now hurt, which is unfortunate, but that was fun stuff. And for the Illini fans, I know that is something definitely that they could cheer about. Here was Eddie Jackson talking about the Chase Claypool situation with Black and Abdallah on Bears Night in Chicago last night. Take a listen. Sure sounds like the Bears are inching towards just cutting Chase Claypool. Here was Eddie Jackson's take.
It's a lot of different things, I think, take into account with Chase. I'm not in the meeting room with him, so I'm not pretty sure what goes on behind closed doors. But, you know, just Chase just trying to stay locked in. You know, I feel like Chase, he view himself as a certain caliber of a player. And if he doesn't get that, you know how receivers are. You know, they want the ball, you know. And you can kind of get, you know, in your feelings a little bit if you don't get the ball. So I'm not too sure, like, what's going on with that. You know, they just told us that he was going to be inactive. And then next thing you know, you see that trades talk. So, you know, you got to leave that stuff upstairs.
Yeah.
When we've heard from Justin Fields and DJ Moore both saying that, you know, they've gone over to him on the sidelines, especially, you know, after the Bucks game where he was caught, you know, not really giving a lot of effort blocking and that kind of stuff. And Matt Eberflus said today, you know, we take everything into account with, yeah, you know, practices and walkthroughs and everything. And kind of led to that. How much does Matt Eberflus let you guys kind of police yourselves with that kind of stuff, with the loafs and the hints principles and all that kind of stuff, before he gets involved, before other coaches get involved?
I mean, he gonna always be involved in that. It's no such, like, you got to go out there and do your job. We know that. And I feel like that, again, with Chase's, like, accountability thing. Like, if he let that slide with Chase, then other guys going to start to slip. So, mm-hmm. And if you start doing that, then you got, you know, weak links in your chain. So it's just things like that he's going to hold everyone to that same level of accountability. And I feel like that's what's needed, you know, especially where we at, where we're trying to head. That's what's needed. There's no one's is going to be held to a higher or lower standard than no one on anyone on the team. Like, we all going to be held to the high standard. We got to go out there, perform, practice, hustle, like the Hicks principle. Like, we really live by that. That's something he really preaches, and we really embrace that as players.
I don't think a lot of love lost between the Bears and Chase Claypool. Yeah. Again, he's on his way out here. I'm not even sure what's taking so long. You're not going to trade him. I mean, nobody's going to give you anything, I wouldn't think, at this point for Chase Claypool. They know the situation. Just release him. Be done with him. I know Komet is obviously very close to him because they played college football together, and Cole Komet said, look, I care about the guy. He's a friend. I care about him as a human being, as a friend, and that's cool. But you can tell just listening to Eddie
Jackson.
What
did he not say?
There's not a lot of love lost there.
As a player on the field.
Yeah, he didn't say. He said, I love him as a friend.
And he cares about him as a friend.
He didn't say teammate.
Right. This is pretty obvious how bad this guy is in a clubhouse, in a locker room.
He's
on his way out.
When Eddie says, you know, he thinks of himself as a certain level of receiver, and you know, you can't give special treatment, although I don't know if I love Eddie. I don't know if I buy that. I think that there was, to me, if somebody disrespects the number one letter in your principal, they shouldn't be on the field the next week. And I think that most top coaches in the league, or the guys that we think of the elite leaders,
Tomlin,
wouldn't have done that. Yeah. You know what I mean?
The guy that traded him.
Like, they you're not going to stand for that. And Matt Eberflus's thing was he apologized to the team. He gave better effort next week. 2 weeks later, we're talking about possibly cutting him and or maybe by some miracle trading him.
I can't imagine.
He slapped you in the face, basically. Slapped your principals in the face, and you allowed him to go back on the field. That's a huge question mark for me. Huge question mark.
Brandon's at Fort Campbell. What up, Brandon?
Wish we had better things to discuss this week, like a win or something like that.
It'd be nice. One of these days. At some point, they're going to win a game, you guys.
They have to.
I can't wait to see how we're gonna react
to
that.
Do we bring back Club Dub?
No.
I hope sooner or later. My gosh. But it was an amazing weekend up there in Chicago, and everything looked to be in order for 52 minutes, that football game.
I know.
But we made our assessment up there, guys, and take it for what you want. But and it rhymes. Coach Flus needs to get cut loose, man. And, you know, they played hard, but, like, that had to have been the most elementary decision I've ever – like, we were going nuts up there in the grandstand. Like, I know we accounted for two of those false starts up there. And, and it was just – we were going nuts. Like, he doesn't trust his defense. And – not only that, who calls the defense? Him. And it's just like,
the player execution at this point is so bad, though, too. Brandon, thanks. He's not going in the middle of the season.
No.
He's just not. They don't have a defensive coordinator.
What are you going to do? Put Hoke up there?
You'd be, I mean, like,
is Hoke going to be the number one?
You'd need a new coach. You'd need a new coach and then someone, a third person to be calling your defense.
Lovie Smith ain't walking through that door.
It ain't happening. They're not firing. I don't care how bad the losing streak gets. They're not firing him during the season. It'd be on Bears-like anyway. It's just not going to happen. It's going to happen come January. Josh is in Mokina. What's up, Josh?
Hey, guys. I'm just wondering if you think there's a possibility that the whole thing just gets blown up in the offseason. I realize Poles is on year two as well as Flus. We know Flus ain't got it, but if you're Kevin Warren, if you're a guy that's always turned something into a win, into a winner, whether it's a college football conference, whether it's any team he's been affiliated with, how do you let Poles keep his job as well? The Chase Claypool thing, I'm going to compare it to when the Bears got played with the Trubisky draft. Mike Tomlin is not getting rid of a player that is good. He's not.
They knew they were buying low. I mean, I wouldn't compare it to Trubisky. I mean, they knew they were buying low. They were hoping. They knew they were taking a chance and there was some risk. I don't think they thought it was going to turn out like this, Josh. I don't think anybody did. This completely blew up in their face. But they were buying low on Claypool. They knew that. They didn't. I wouldn't say they got played. The only thing he needed to do as a young GM was stick to his guns and not give up his second-round pick. He should have made it the Baltimore pick.
Yeah.
That's where he screwed up. Simple as that. And, yeah, there's a possibility it all gets cleaned out. Yes, Kevin Warren's got to be looking at this going, are you kidding?
And I think that's there's a different eye in the sky. That's what I keep telling Bears fans, right? This is not, you know, Ted Phillips who's worried about the money things, and now we got George who's basically kind of overseeing whatever the next thing is with a football group. Your football group's here. We got a football mind in the building with Kevin Warren. He's not going to stand for this. I don't think Poles is going to be on his way out by any means, right? But the performance level that we've seen from your football team right now, you can't tell me.
I wouldn't totally close the book on a complete blow up, but I think Poles will be back.
I think Poles is safe because realistically you're seeing pieces for Poles hit. Yes, you're seeing misses, but you're seeing some of those pieces hit.
And he didn't draft the quarterback.
And he didn't draft the quarterback. Maybe you're probably going to give him that opportunity. Yeah. For me, I look at the coaching decision. You're one of the worst defenses in the league when DVOA says that Denver's one of the worst defenses in NFL history.
It's awful.
like think
They're
about that.
Up 7
think
yards
about that.
A play.
You're
7.
You're one of the worst defenses in the NFL while Denver is literally one of the worst defenses in NFL history.
It's terrible. By the way, I knew it. When I said it, I thought it was wrong because I was like, wait, the Patriots.
I knew it was the 7.
The Patriots weren't drafting that high.
17th.
17th, yes. They took Christian Gonzalez. Yeah, but both kids look fantastic. And it's too bad Gonzalez got hurt. I don't know how long he's going to be out. I think he was seeking a second opinion from what I read a couple of days ago or what I read yesterday. But Devin Witherspoon had a coming out party on national TV last night, and it was fantastic to see. 312-332-3776. It's Carmen and York. We'll be right back.
Working from home or back in the office? Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Just ask your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Jesse Rogers is going to join us at about 1:15. He'll react and recap to the things that Jed Hoyer had to say as he met the media to wrap the 2023 season. One that turned out to be pretty disappointing for the Cubs after all that. I mean, they were like 86% to make the playoffs. I think they were like minus 500 at one point, or maybe minus 300 to make the playoffs, and they ended up missing.
Yeah.
Ouch.
If you're a Cubs fan, listen.
What happened?
Listen, I can't rain on anybody's parade being the fan of the team I am, but I mean, look. I'm not
rubbing it in. I mean, we're Sox fans. We got nothing to say.
I got nothing.
I'm legitimately surprised that they missed, but in July, I was like, well, I don't know. It's been a weird season. Like, on July 4th, I was like, they're not going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
And then by the end of August, I was like, damn, the Cubs are pretty decent. They're going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be a jag about it. Like, I literally went through those different emotions of this Cubs team.
I think all Cubs
fans
did.
Or my viewpoint was like, yeah, they're going to make it. They're good enough. They're, look at them. I don't know.
It just shows
that's
you,
a collapse. That
was a collapse, but I guess if you're at any point, right, if you're a Cubs fan, right, if you're at any point in this whole part of your team and post-World Series era, right, you'd rather have that collapse now, knowing what you have on your team, knowing the pieces that you want to go into the future with. It's not good for this season. It doesn't make you feel better right now, but at least you know a little bit of what's on your team. You know the pieces that you feel strongly about. You know what I mean? Like
if you keep Bellinger.
Yeah.
and whatever else they do via a trades or free agency, like they will be a, they'll be probably a sexier pick come the spring next year, right?
I would think
the
so.
The rebuild
right?
seems to be going in the right direction for them.
There's something about, again, I've said this a couple times, right? Learning how to win and learning how to deal with that pressure. The Cubs were in a position where the pressure was on them to make it. What'd you say? They were plus what?
They were like, well, they were like minus 300 minus to make the playoffs at one point.
Right.
I
like,
think.
So you, the pressure's on you. You've got all of this, and it just it crumbled them. And in the biggest moment, you could
last
tell.
Week was
you
weird.
Could tell by the last week. You could tell by the end of the season, they were to a point where it was like, the this drop. Is we're not going to make it.
A drop.
This
fly
is this
ball.
Is not going to happen.
It was a week ago tonight, right? The drop
yes.
fly ball.
Right?
Wasn't it a week ago tonight? It was last Tuesday.
Last Tuesday, yes.
Seiya Suzuki's dropping a ball. Not even a drop. I mean, it missed his glove. The next night, Nico Horner with a bad error. You don't expect that. I don't know. Is that PCA taking bad routes in the outfield, letting balls get by him? Like,
I love the comments. Sledhead says, it's just part of being a Cubs fan.
Listen, we got nothing. I got nothing to say. Pat's got nothing to say. I'm not busting balls on the Cubs. I'm not. Like, I wish...
It was a genuine surprise that they didn't make it.
I wish Jed Hoyer was the GM of my team, of our team.
Yeah.
You know, because Pat's a Cub fan, as a Sox fan, too. I'm not, the Yurko's off today. Like, I wish Jed Hoyer was. Like, I'd feel so much better about the overall direction and path forward. I do like some of the outside voices that Chris Getz has brought in. I think that's important. I think none may be more significant than, I think Barfield and Bannister are both pretty significant. They come from... Especially Bannister coming from winning organizations, and Barfield's a Mike Hazen guy who's a Theo guy, so like he's kind of off that tree. I think that's important, and it should be noted. So, okay, noted, but I'm not busting balls. I'm I'm a month ago, if you would have told me the Cubs missed and blew it the way they did, I would have said, no way. I'm like, no, they're in the second spot. They've got a pretty tight grip on that second spot. They're not going to blow it.
It's that pressure. And I think that's the thing, right? You want the team to learn from that. There's a part of winning, right? I mean, everything, right? At one point, this was a very winning city, and it all came from us going through the heartbreak, us going through the losses, us going through the struggles of getting over whatever team was ahead of us, and sometimes going through the struggles of our own mental anguish, our own being inside of our own head, struggling to get the job done.
We got a lot of mental anguish going on right now, I'll tell you that. There is... You know, and not everybody's a hockey fan. I get it. You better start embracing Connor Bedard, folks.
You got to.
you
got to.
You better. Hassan is in Skokie. What's up, Hassan?
What's going on?
I'm good. How are you guys doing? Love listening to the show.
Thanks, man.
Appreciate it.
I had one statement and then one question. The statement I wanted to make was I heard someone calling yesterday on Black and Abdallah talking about how Justin Fields has cost us way too many games, and it was on him the last game. I got to say, I don't understand that at all. Last year, we lost a bunch of games just because Velas-Jones was dropping punts or just dropping catches. And then in this last game, even the fumble that Fields had for the touchdown, I don't think it was a good play call at all. Even if you heard the commentators, they said running a play action there, you know the edge rusher is coming straight for Fields. You should have not called that. And then the question I had for you guys, I wanted to hear your opinion on this, was how would you guys feel the Bears going in the Lions route, because the Lions are the best team in the division right now, where they hired former players, like their coordinators played for the Lions. So what if the Bears hired someone like Lance Briggs to be defensive coordinator or someone like Hester to be offensive coordinator?
Hester?
What do you guys think about that?
Levin Hester? Come on. I don't know that Lance wants to coach. I doubt it. You got to be in coaching.
When you
did we just get it? Devin Hester should be the
Hester.
Offensive coordinator.
Yeah, Hester for the OC.
Devin Hester That's should not. Be the special
you,
teams coordinator.
You guys
coordinator,
remember all of his great offensive plays?
Run fast.
Hester helps Bayless the most. He's just like, get out of his way.
Run fast.
Yeah, right. Like, let me just take over. I would say go to Detroit and hire Ben Johnson. I would think of that. The offensive coordinator from Detroit. That I would think about.
I don't think there's a player that a former Bear that I would want.
Is there one coaching? Right?
That's I'm trying to think. Like, I don't think there's a former Bear that I would want as any coach on this. And it's not a slight to them. They were amazing players. I just don't think there's any
you've
of them coaching.
Be in coaching.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm not talking about Les Frazier. Les took
it's a long, it's a long promotion for McKee.
Yeah.
Long way to go.
I mean, there is a former quarterback who's out there as a trying to become a coach, right?
Josh McCown.
McCown, right?
McCown is like... Les Frazier played, 40 years ago when I was a kid. And Les took a year off anyway. I don't know if Les is going to come back to coaching. I wouldn't go that route anyway. McCown is. Like, I could see that.
We got a current coach on our staff right now.
That's why I said, low high, though. Low big of a promotion there.
What do you mean?
J-Mac? McKee. You talking about J-Mac?
Coaching's coaching, Pat. You got to coach. You get coached. Yeah. You're turning boys into men. You're turning men into
bigger men.
But the point is, you've got to be in coaching. Yeah. I mean,
and McKee's in coaching.
Right. Yeah, McCown, McKee. Those are a couple names. Okay. But like Devin Hester, Lance
Briggs.
We're
throwing J-Mac in there. I love it.
I don't think Lance wants to coach. Lance lives the good life. He doesn't need to go coach.
He's on the sideline already. He just got to take off the headset, put on a different headset.
Yeah, I don't think Lance wants to go coach.
He's already there.
Jesse joins us in 15 minutes. We got to pick a World Series team, guys. We got to try to make money again like we've done in years past. Pat, the designer's in for York. We're back in 2 minutes.